Let's turn to John chapter 10. Okay, John 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. There arose such a division again among the Jews because of these words. And many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? At that time, the Feast of the Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews, therefore, gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. These bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus answered them, has it not been written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? I do not do the works of my Father, do not... If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them through you, do not believe me. Believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. And many came to him and were saying, while John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true. And many believed him there. Amen. You remember I mentioned earlier on that one of the great highlights of John's writing is these I am statements. And these I am statements are always alluding back to Exodus chapter 3 when God reveals himself to Moses at the burning bush, and he calls himself the I am. And so John is very purposely writing in these instances where Jesus comes out and continues to use that statement all throughout. So again, we back here, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life, and now he gives the other revelation, I am the good shepherd. Now, chapter 10 will be better understood in context of the last verse in chapter 9. And he says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sins remain. This parable of the good shepherd is directed towards the leaders, the Pharisees. He would call these guys the false shepherds. And he'll describe a little bit of what they're like. So he says in the beginning, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. So notice what he's saying to these people. Now, he doesn't say what the door is yet, but later on he'll say, guess what? I'm the door. All right? And so if you want to go to the Father, if you want to become part of this fold, you have to go through me. And we'll see that a little bit later on when he begins to expound on that thought even more so. But it's very interesting. He says here, and he says, he who does not enter by the door, in other words, and it's not really like entering the kingdom of God, but it's attaining some kind of religious position, but without relationship with God. You entered a different way. You got into the community, but you weren't a real believer. And you were fake. You're a thief, actually. You're a robber. And so it's very cutting to the people that are there. But then he says, but he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. And so, again, he's talking about leaders here in this regard. And so you enter by a relationship with Jesus to God. You enter by that relationship. Leaders now, you are a shepherd. To him, that doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Again, dealing with this issue of leadership. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, and because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, interestingly enough, this imagery of sheep would be very well known to the Jewish people. They actually have history going all the way back into the Old Testament about this great shepherd. This great shepherd of their people that will lead them out. And probably the most famous passage in the Old Testament dealing with this is Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is really the picture of sheep. It's people. It's us that get to lie down in green pastures. And I gave a message on this before. It's probably, if you're really interested, it's probably a good idea to go online and find it. But I talked about the Shepherd Trilogy, and interwoven in Messianic promise and Messianic hope and prophecy is this idea of the Shepherd. And in this trilogy, Old Testament, very, very well known. The first year seminary student will be very aware. It's Psalm 22 is what we call the good shepherd. Psalm 23 is the great shepherd. And Psalm 24 is the chief shepherd. And so I'll break it down really quickly. Psalm 22 is the good shepherd in the sense that, Psalm 22 is about the crucifixion. When Jesus cries out on the cross, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's actually the first verse of Psalm 22. At the end of it, when he gives up his life and into thy hands I commit my spirit, that's the last verse of Psalm 22. And so this is the story of the shepherd dying for the sheep. And in John 10:11, that's what he says. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Psalm 22 is the story of the good shepherd, Old Testament story of the good shepherd, the shepherd that will lay down his life and be a ransom for many. We have a lot of different words, right? The propitiation for our sins. And so that's Psalm 22. He lays down his life for the sheep, for the people. Psalm 23 is the great shepherd. And if you're interested, you could read Hebrews 13:20, when it talks about this, and it's the great shepherd who cares and tends his flock. And so Psalm 23 is really the psalm that deals with a shepherd that cares, that leads us beside still waters, that restores our soul. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because thy rod, again, those are all shepherd imagery and they staff, they comfort me. They set a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and so on and so forth. You guys are very familiar with the psalm. That's a psalm of the great shepherd. He's not just our king that dies for us, but he's also our king, our shepherd that even now still cares for us and sustaining us. You know, Jesus didn't die on the cross and went to heaven and said, "Oh, man, my job's done. Oh, praise God. You know, let me take a vacation now." No, Jesus is still with us every single day. And in fact, the writer of Hebrews says that he is making intercession for us. That even now, he's praying to the Father and with the Holy Spirit empowering us to live this Christian life. He is the great shepherd that is tending the flock and taking very good care of his sheep. And then in Psalm 24, be familiar with this psalm. It's the psalm of the glory of God. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. He is established upon the seas and found upon the rivers. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not sworn their soul deceitfully. And then he talks about this idea of the glory of God coming in. So open wide your heavenly gates that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. So open the gates that the King of glory may come in. And so Psalm 24 is the parable of the chief shepherd. In the New Testament, you can see this in 1 Peter 5:4. And so he's the shepherd now, the chief shepherd that actually rewards the sheep. It's really beautiful. You know, David, when he, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he writes these three psalms, he probably had no idea of the theological significance of what he was doing when he's writing. And so the first one, Psalm 22, the shepherd is going to lay down his life for the sheep. Psalm 24, our great shepherd is going to care for us. He's going to lead us beside still waters. He's going to restore our souls. In other words, he didn't just die and leave. He died and he's still with us, taking care of us. And then Psalm 24, he's the King of glory. And he's going to come and he's going to reward his sheep. He's going to reward each one of us. He's going to bring his glory into our lives. This is the shepherd that rewards. One of the reasons why the Jews would be very familiar with sheep because sheep are very obedient. I'm not going to say obedient. They're very lacking own will in their regard, and so they just kind of hang out. There's a lot of I've shared messages on this before that sheep are really dumb animals. And, all you got to do is Google it. You know, you'll find that they're quite low on the totem pole when it comes to intelligence among animals. And so the sheep are, in that place, they're compliant in some ways. But one thing that the sheep, especially in these times, are very well known for is sticking very close to the shepherd. And every once in a while, I mean, I know this is a bit graphic, but every once in a while, when a sheep goes astray, when the shepherd finds the sheep, very oftentimes, I don't know if they do it now, but back in the days, he used to take the sheep, and what he would do is he would break one of his legs, and then mend the leg, and he would put the sheep over his shoulders. I'm sure you've seen pictures like that. And in the whole, 1 month, 2 months that it takes for the bone to heal, the sheep now gets the scent of the shepherd. And because the sheep are actually kind of blind, they actually don't see very far. And so the sheep doesn't have the scent of the shepherd, so the sheep gets the scent of the shepherd. And then when it's healed, the sheep sits basically, walks right alongside with the shepherd and follows the shepherd anywhere. And he says very interesting things that we would have no idea. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." It's true. Domesticated sheep have an incredible ability to discern the voice of their shepherd. He says, "I know them by name." It's true. You know, many years ago, I was in Korea, and I had opportunity. I think actually John Lee set it up, because you know he was doing North Korean refugee work in South Korea when he was a teacher there. And so I met this refugee. He had escaped North Korea, and he spent like 7-8 years in China in hiding, basically as a refugee, as an illegal. And the only job he can get was raising sheep. And so he was kind of out in the boonies, and he was raising sheep, and he was out there for years. And it's crazy. We were having this conversation, I think, at a Starbucks in Korea. And you know, so I was just telling him about his experience, and he said, yeah, I actually could recognize the faces of my sheep. He said over all this time, he actually, and the sound of his voice, that they, because over a period of time, they're actually very, very close. And he actually shared this really humorous story. So he finally got his papers, his refugee papers, and he was flying to South Korea. And now he can live in South Korea and, you know, flee, get out of China. And he says, and he was on a Korean Airlines flight. And he was trying to wave the stewardess, or one of the stewardesses promised him a pillow or, I don't know, something like that. And but the stewardesses kept walking by, and he couldn't tell which one was the one, because they all looked the same. They all had the same plastic surgeon. And, you know, it was really funny. I could say that because I'm Korean, okay? You know, one thing was really funny. He was sitting on the plane, and he goes, you know, I have like hundreds of sheep, and I can recognize all of their faces. But I'm on this Korean Airlines flight, and I can't recognize these stewardesses from one another. And so he kind of had a chuckle. We were like dying laughing inside the Starbucks. But I'll just say that because, you know, we're not farmers. We don't know. But apparently it's really true that, I mean, the shepherds, they really recognize the face of their sheep. The sheep recognize their voice and, more importantly, recognize their scent. And they follow. And it's this idea. When he says here, he says, I am the door of the sheep. This would be very, very clear to them, because in the fields, the temporary fields that they would go and graze, they would bring them in, and it was a pen, but because it was temporary, it wasn't that secure. And shepherds during this time were known to sleep in between the openings, and they were literally the door. And so when he says, I'm the door, you know, like we listen to that and we think, oh, you're the door? You know, like how does that work? But they would have known very well what he meant. He's the one that guards them. He's the one that the entrance and the exit, and he controls all that. And because that's what they literally do. At night, they would lie down in between the openings of the gate, and they would literally be that door. And he's saying, he says, look, I am the door. He'll say later on that no one comes to the Father, right, but through me, in many different passages to the Gospels. And so now, here's this indictment again. I know in verse 10, I know we use this a lot to talk about the devil, and it's good. Yeah, the devil does do this too, but primarily, if we're going to really understand and do good Bible study, he's talking about the Pharisees. He says, you're basically a bunch of thieves. You only come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. In other words, he came, and I mean, really, let the Holy Spirit really speak to you. He came not only for you to be saved, not only for you to have the life, meaning you're the everlasting life or salvation, but he came that your life would overflow. You know what I mean? That your life would be so full, and your life would be so exciting. Your life would be so, I hate to use such a simple word, but so fun. It'd be so full of this life, and it's this idea of overflowing, having it abundantly. I did a teaching on this years ago. And I mentioned in different languages the way they translate this, and really it's really the passage really dealing with overflowing. Just think of your cup, and it's just overflowing. That's what this life that God's giving you is just overflowing in this way. And, you know, honestly, there's not that many Christians that really live that kind of life, unfortunately. And we just have salvation. Because maybe for a lot of people, we just settle for that. And, oh, I'm saved. All right, this is my ticket, my pass to heaven, and that's it. And you don't realize that he has so much more in store for us. Remember Ephesians, when Paul is writing? He says, and him who is able to do much more exceedingly abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. That's God who is working in us. He is able to do so much more than what we have in store. And he is the shepherd that does that. He was a hireling. Again, those are the Pharisees and those guys. They're not shepherds. They're not owners. Well, as soon as danger happens, they flee. And because they don't care, they're not concerned about the sheep. They're concerned about themselves. Do you remember the Pharisees and the leaders when the paralytic was healed? Did they rejoice that the paralytic was healed? Or were they upset because he had healed on the Sabbath? The blind man as well. See, they're hirelings. They don't care about the sheep. They care about their own rules. They care about their own status. They're hirelings. They have no concern with God's people. They're just concerned with status. They're concerned with title. They're concerned with getting respect in the marketplace. They're concerned with getting the best seats in different meetings. And it's so different. They're not concerned with people. They care more about the Sabbath, the rules of the Sabbath, instead of, man, a man born blind was healed. And you'll see this kind of theme go all the way through in this place. He says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 18, no one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from the Father. He says, you know, the Romans didn't kill Jesus. You know, the Jews, the leaders didn't kill Jesus. Jesus laid down his life himself. And when in the scriptures, when he says that he gave up his spirit and he bowed his head, it's actually the same word in Greek that's used here of laying his head. When Jesus said, I have no place to lay my head on earth, the same word in Greek that's used there is used here. It's used when he gives up his spirit and he says, and he bowed his head. In other words, he laid down his head. And that was a prophecy because it was true. Jesus didn't have a place. In other words, he didn't lay down his head on earth. When he gave up his spirit and he bowed down, gave up his life and laid down his head, he was suspended from the earth. He was on the cross. And he was speaking of his death. And you can kind of see all this imagery. It's actually quite beautiful when he puts it together. The last thing, I'm running out of time. The last thing here, my sheep hear my voice. So, you know, we talked about this. But he starts verse 30. I and the Father are one. And now, these guys are like, all right, you're dead meat. You can't be more blatant than this. And again, John is talking about, and Jesus is asserting his deity, that he is God. And he asked the question, you know, I showed you all this good works. Are you stoning? He says, no, for good works, we're not stoning you. So if anyone has any misunderstanding, he says, good works, we're not stoning you. We're stoning you because you claim that you are God. You are man, and you claim that you are God. And then, the rest of the chapter goes on. And then tomorrow we'll get to Lazarus, which is also a really fun passage. So let's close our eyes today. Brothers and sisters, don't be offended, but we're just a bunch of dumb sheep. But we have a great shepherd. The good shepherd that lays down his life for us. The great shepherd that cares for us. And the chief shepherd that will reward us. The King of Glory. I don't know which one you need today. Maybe you're going through some difficulty and you need the good shepherd to come. Maybe you need some hope of promise and future. So you need the chief shepherd to remind us of what's in store, to take our eyes off the temporal and fix our eyes on the eternal. Maybe you're so feel so guilty about your sins. You need the good shepherd who laid down his life for your sins. Substitutionary atonement. In other words, he took your place. And he absorbed the wrath of God that you may walk in abundance. And so wherever you're at today, I'm sure you can align yourself with one aspect of the shepherd. And so give yourself to him today.
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. No, I still make mistakes. You have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your comes in the morning. Because I know that you love me. You stay the same. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the ocean rages, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh, your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
Let's pray. Let's go before our shepherd, the one that cares for us, the one that died for us, the one that will reward us. And wherever you're at today, let's align ourselves with an aspect of his care, his sacrifice, and his reward. Let's just go before him. Just thank him. Give him the issues of our hearts. Give him those things that are captivating us, that maybe it be worrying us. And let him lead you beside still waters today. Let's pray. Let's go to our community focus and let's pray for our community that's battling cancer and going through therapies. So let's pray for God's healing and his encouragement to come upon them. Pray for our community that's going through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's going through different non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Huh? Let's pray for God's provision and open doors and opportunities to rise in their lives. Let's go to our mission focus today, and let's pray for Japan. Let's ask God to breathe His Spirit over this land. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia there as well, and especially in her rounding up her language studies. And let's pray for her ministry there. And let's just cover her, and let's cover this country. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask Holy Spirit to lead our leaders and use them and guide them. Pray protection over their families and over their spouses. And pray that the ministry would be carried out very excellently and faithfully. Let's pray for Yahweh, for our young adults and young ladies. Let's pray, God, will you really use this group to lead the young people to Him? Let's pray for Pastor Kenny as he leads and really use him to bring direction and guidance. Let's lift up. Let's pray for House Church today. Let's pray for Causeway Bay, East Enders, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit, Cimbria, Lion Rock, and McRobinson. Let's pray Holy Spirit would be in our discussions and our prayer times and our fellowship. Let's pray for the leaders and the hosts that they would really serve their sheep well. Let's lift up. go to our member focus. Let's pray for Sue Moon today from Elements, house church leader. Let's pray that she'd fully trust in God and delivering and raising their baby. Pray for John's physical and spiritual health, and for Elements House Church grow and be a stronger bond in Christ. So let's lift up Sue. Let's pray for the other half. Let's pray for John. Let's pray for deeper intimacy with God to mold him into a good dad. Pray for reconciliation in their parents' relationship and wisdom and discernment at the workplace. So let's lift up. Let's pray for Sophia Lee from Elements. Let's pray for health of her family, and pray for a successful surgery to fix a recurrent UTI for Maddie. Actually, it's not this morning. They canceled it to have a second opinion, so it's going to come up later. But let's just pray that God would just heal him. Well, let's ask for God's hand upon this family and pray for Sophia. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you, God, that you are the good shepherd. God, you laid your life down for us, and we're so grateful, God. But you're also the great shepherd that still cares for us, that's still watching over us, that leads us beside still waters. And you're the coming chief shepherd that will bring your rewards, God. And so, Lord, we recognize, God, that we're dumb sheep, Lord, and we need to, Lord, just walk and follow you. What else do we have, God? So come and lead us, Lord. Lord, come and have your way with us today. We love you, Jesus. And in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.